Today's reading is from 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through 14. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 3, 12, 14 in your Bibles or turn to page 804 in the Bibles provided on the chairs or on your portable device. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. You may go to the children's church. You may be seated.
I remember early in my career working in hospitals, and it seemed like everybody died. Maybe it was 50%. I don't know the numbers. But it seemed like everyone was dying. It was an AIDS ward, supposed to be a medicine ward, but it was all patients with AIDS. I still remember a name. I remember faces. We washed our hands with a betadine soap. After a while, it seemed like you would walk up to the soap dispenser and you would cringe because it was so harsh and your hands just seemed dried and rough. Everyone was on edge. It was before universal precautions, and it was because of that that we started universal precautions. And then there became the relief when we realized it wasn't spread airborne. It wasn't just by touch. But so many people died and lost their lives. And yesterday, like today, politics got involved. But in spite of that, there were many who were bold and willing to be on the front lines of taking care of those who were ill. Whether it was AIDS in the 80s, whether it was when we had the SARS scare, S-A-R-S, in the early 2000s, when we had the Ebola outbreaks. And Ebola was another incredibly scary event. How quickly a person could die. And I remember the story of a Christian doctor who was on the front lines risking his life to do what was necessary. In the midst of difficulties like that, in the midst of difficulties like today when we're having a resurgence of COVID again, we thought we'd gotten through probably the worst of it, and maybe we have. Maybe this will never go away. I don't know. But we are called to be bold in Christ. Innocent as a dove and shrewd as a snake. To be wise in how we deal with things. But we are not called to be fearful. We're not called to run away. With wisdom and grace, we are called to be bold and live our lives with boldness for His glory, taking care of those in need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we today, like in many times throughout our history, are living in uncertain times when we just don't know what's going to happen, Lord, let us put our faith in You, not in our circumstances. As we read our call to worship, there is no security in our rulers and in human leaders. Rather, we are to look to the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, the living God. Lord, let us look to You for our hope and our security. And because of that, and through all circumstances, Lord, we can live our call in Christ with boldness and fear and respect of our living God. We pray this, Lord, in the name and character of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we go through 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is giving the people a bold call throughout this book. Last week it was going to be the aroma of Christ to spread out and not hold back. And this may sound easy on paper, but Corinth was a secular city. As I said, maybe it was the Mardi Gras of its time, only year-round. The Vegas of its time. Only what happened in Corinth didn't stay in Corinth. They were known as a city, a sensual city, where the weak didn't survive. But it was at the crossroads of the Roman world, like Rome. The cities took it everywhere. There were numerous visitors. And Paul knew that the gospel and ministry of Jesus Christ should be preached with boldness to those who were perishing. And so he preached it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, going back to verse 7. And Paul cries out. Now, if the ministry that brought death, and he's talking about the Old Testament and the sacrificial system that looked forward to Christ, the final sacrifice, but animals were continuously sacrificed to represent Jesus Christ, because sin brings death and something dies. It brought death. And it was graved in the letters of stone. And he's really referring to all of the Old Testament, the commandments, but specifically here to the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down from the mountain, carved by the finger of God on stone, which was engraved in letters and stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, even though it was transitory. When he came down, his face was filled with God's glory, and it shone. So as we look back to the Old Testament, Paul is preaching that, saying how Moses went up to the mountain, and the Lord gave him the basic Ten Commandments. Not all that there was, but a foundation. There's often a joke, the Ten Commandments today are replaced by a million laws that still can't do as well. If we followed those ten, we wouldn't need the other millions of laws. But he's bringing this down. But it's transitory. Just like his face will lose its shine, the sacrifices are repeated. But then he looks back from the past and moves up to Christ. In verse 8, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, because they were still waiting for Christ as the final sacrifice, everything was temporary, how much more is the glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? How much better when Christ comes and we are forgiven and living in freedom forever, and we see up close the eternal hope he brings us. It's not just a promise now, we live it out. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory that which lasts? Now, I'm not saying the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. It's all the Word of God. But what's better is the final sacrifice of Christ was better than anything else that came. The Old Testament isn't bad and the New Testament good. There was a different God of the Old Testament and a different God of the New Testament. It's the same God, the same ministry. But one looked forward to the hope of Christ, and now we live in that hope. And then he talks about the Spirit, and Christ gives us his advocate, his minister, his representative, the Holy Spirit. And we are called to live out in boldness, not waiting for a promise, but living in the promise. And if they could have glory and have boldness having to wait, how much more can we now live out? It's like having a trust fund. And you know when you turn 40, you get the trust fund and it's given out to you. And you're waiting and you know it's going to come, but it's not here. And then when the trust arrives, you have it. It was as good as done back here, but you still didn't have it. They're waiting for Jesus Christ. And when he comes, he doesn't abolish the Old Testament. He fulfills it. He is the fulfillment of the law. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you've fulfilled the law. Christ fulfilled all the sacrifices that ever were. And there are no need for any more. So it builds on what was and doesn't abolish it, but fulfills it. If what was temporary was so glorious, how much now should we revel and walk in glory for what he has given us? It's hard to understand how you can live on that promise. Much of it we don't. Some of it was written for a nation. And it was specific to Israel. They had to do weird things like you couldn't have tattoos or you couldn't come to church. You couldn't mix your cloth. I think this is 100% wool, but if not, I wouldn't be allowed in. Because it was teaching them to separate from the godless nations. But other things were universal, and we see that repeated in the New Testament. The sacrifices never end because they always need to tell Christ, and then Christ is universal. See, even when Solomon dedicated the temple, they were done with the tent tabernacle that was transitory, and they had moved it around and sacrificed. Now they built a temple, and it was solid, and it was there. And it was for Israel. It was God, Yahweh Almighty, but it was Israel. Christ is everyone. But even then, God was moving out. When Solomon does the prayer of dedication, and he says, Lord, when the foreigner comes to worship you. Even then, there was the nation of Israel. Even then, it was expanding out. And when Christ comes, it breaks out. And the dividing wall of hostility between the nation of Israel and all their nations, between Jews and Gentiles, is destroyed, and there is one new body in Jesus Christ. And we walk in that glory. In verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, we are bold. Not stupid. Sometimes we confuse that. You should never have more boldness than brains. It's really nice when they come together. In fact, the Bible says, zeal without knowledge is not good. I wish I could say that I was never zealous without knowing. But oftentimes I was very zealous when I didn't know what I was talking about. It's nice to know both. And in Christ we are called to be bold. We now know of our hope in Jesus Christ. We are very, not just bold, we are very bold. We are not like Moses who put on a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Moses goes up, gets the Ten Commandments. They're carved on stone by the finger of God, and he's shining. But it fades. And it actually kind of scared the Israelites, and so he covered. He covered his face. We are not like Moses. We are very bold. So whether it's COVID, whether it's AIDS, whether it's politics, whether it's an economic crash, I never lived through the Depression. I've read so many stories about the crash in 1929. And then as a kid, I remember the early 70s, lines at the filling station. It was scary. The energy crisis. And then I remember later, in the 80s, Black Friday in October. And I remember 2008 in October again. And every time we never knew. Are we slipping into a 10-year depression? I don't always know the definitions of a recession versus a depression. But we don't know. And I remember one time I had a friend who naively said, oh, they won't let that happen again. We read our call to worship. It says, don't trust in men and women. Don't trust in people you think are powerful. Trust in God. Believe me, we can't stop some of these economic crashes. You can't flout good economic common sense and avoid the consequences. But whether it's the economy, whether it's Ebola, AIDS, COVID, we're called to be bold. I remember being on that ward, and it really did seem like everyone died. Once you were diagnosed, And you could just see the progression, and it was haunting. And how little we knew. But the wisdom from the past calls out to today. When COVID first started in church, I remember reading Martin Luther. Martin Luther lived in the 1500s, and they went through plagues. And his common sense, biblical boldness in Christ approach lives through today. He goes, "Therefore, I shall ask God mercilessly to protect us." He said, "We're believers, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for our schools tonight. We're going to pray for our nation and our first responders on September 11th. If we believe in prayer, if we believe in the living God, if we believe in the transformative power and saving grace of Jesus Christ, we should pray like we do." And then he goes, "And then I shall fumigate," think sanitize, "purify the air, administer medicine, and take it." He wasn't like, "Oh, I got Jesus, I don't need this stuff." Take your medicine. Use hand sanitizer. Live common sense. And then he says, "I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated, and thus a penchant to infect," and he uses the word pollute, "others." He goes, "I'm going to be wise." Now, I don't always understand all these guidelines, and some of them I just think are stupid some days. I mean, really. And I could complain all day. Okay, I mean, there's just been some weird guidelines we've had. And a lot of them are very good, but some of them are just like, okay, really? But we want to use common sense. And not cause illness to others by our negligence. You know, both sides sometimes just go a little crazy. And Martin Luther saying, we can be bold in Christ and just have a little common sense. In ministry and medicine, those who are responsible for the spiritual and physical well-being of others must not flee an outbreak. I'm so glad our healthcare workers aren't fleeing. They're short-staffed. They're tired. But rather stay and care for people in the midst of it. Luther advised over they must also be careful not to make matters worse. You know, there's a lot of debate about the vaccine. When it first came out, I mean, it was brand new. I don't download the beta version of Windows, of any software. I'm just like that. You know, I got some friends who are, they're into that. They're bold. They want to try it out. Not me. Call me Mr. Boring. I'm waiting until it's tested. I felt the same way about the vaccine. But I'm also a volunteer chaplain at the hospital, and they wanted us vaccinated. So I decided I'd get vaccinated. Was it some great sacrifice? No, I would have probably done it later. I would have preferred later. It's not like, ooh, I'm on the cutting edge of ministry. No, it was a pretty simple decision, but I would rather have waited. And I follow the guidelines they tell me to follow in the hospital. And I do what they say. But I think back to so many others who really made true sacrifices. I remember reading about that Christian doctor fighting Ebola. And if you read about Ebola, it was a terrible way to die. All death's terrible. Ebola is a terrible way to die. And he was on the front edge. Imagine the doctors back then with the Black Plague. They didn't know what to do. They thought cats were the problem, so they killed cats. Well, the cats were the one eating the mice that spread the disease. Talk about unintended consequences. And yet, pastors, healthcare workers, or the doctors that we had back then, most of them probably nuns and monks, went about taking care of those in need, oftentimes at risk. I didn't have to do that. I mean, the risk for me getting the vaccine pretty early was pretty minimal. But I thought it was worth it. And it changed how I made my decision. And how many healthcare workers are truly on the front lines, working with sick patients? In common sense, we move forward. Not in fear, but in boldness. And you see, we live in a world, though, because we live in a world that has fallen, oftentimes what should bring us together divides us. And COVID has. Verse 14, but their minds were made dull, for this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. And I'm embarrassed to say, even many Christians at the time acted like they weren't walking in the grace and hope of Jesus Christ. You know, Christians should act like Christians. That doesn't mean we should sit down and shut up, but we're wise in what we're doing. We don't spread false rumors. With COVID, so many false rumors were spread, and it drives me nuts. And I could blame Facebook, I could blame Twitter, but if we didn't have these fingers typing, they wouldn't exist. Know what you're putting out there before you put it out there. Check it, not just because somebody sent you an email. You know, Facebook is not going to start taxing us for each post. And I've been reading that post for the last 10 years. Microsoft's not going to start charging us to send email. And I've been reading that for the last 10 years. And there are some pretty strange things put out about COVID. And then when real concerns come out, you don't know what's what. And we as Christians should be at the forefront of being gracious with people who disagree with us. Gracious with people who slander us. But yet bold in Christ. Non-Christians should not be expected to act like Christians. That's just the way it is. And sometimes we get frustrated with them. I do. I get frustrated with Christians. You know what? And I'm going to say this while people say things, well, if you all weren't a bunch of hypocrites, I'd maybe come to church. And my response is, well, you and me both, so we'll fit right in. I don't expect us to be perfect. In fact, that would bother me, because we should have people who are immature, people who don't know things, but we grow in Christ. We're transformed in Christ. What bothers me is we got people who refuse to be transformed in Christ. It's like, no, we're called to grow. Read your Bible. Pray. And quit complaining about the non-Christians. Deal with them in a gracious way. Deal with them in kindness. And live out your hope in Jesus Christ with boldness and grace. In the midst of all this political turmoil, let us be a voice of calm and peace and truth. I read a story about a pastor, or he's either that or a well-known Christian business leader in his community out in the West Coast, and he got on the school board. And the non-Christian world really respected him. Not because he hid his faith, not because he threw it in their face, but because as a Christian leader, like Martin Luther, he was willing to give grace to those who disagreed with him, but yet willingly spoke with boldness and truth. And unfortunately, that was found to be refreshing instead of normal. Because in verse 15, even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. Non-Christians just won't understand Christ. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We should be free in Christ. We should be hopeful in Christ. We should live with boldness. If they don't like us because we're bold in Christ and preaching Christ and they want to slander us, so be it. But let them slander us for living a Christian life. Not for spreading rumors and gossip and acting like immature children. Let them slander us for saying Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the hope, and no one comes to the Father. Let them slander us for praying, being a people of action and prayer. We are created in the image of God. We were made in the image of God. We are called to be transformed in Christ, and therefore we have a spirit of boldness. So my question to you and me, are we changed? Are we living a transformed life? I don't expect us to be perfect, but are we growing? When we look at our life, am I more mature as a Christian today than I was a year ago? Or has COVID gotten me so wrapped up I'm just a worrisome and I'm fearful and I'm mad? Not that you shouldn't be, because it would make sense. But in Christ, I'm prayerful. I'm contemplative. I'm a scripture reader. I speak the truth in love. I'm slow to speak and quick to listen. Are we growing in that? Are we bold in Christ? What is Jesus Christ? What is the Holy Spirit moving in your heart today? Where is He calling you today to grow in the faith and walk in boldness? Where? Because I'm sure every one of us here, Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit moving on each of us in a different way and how we are to move and what we're to do. Whereas Satan and hell would rather have us shut down, hiding in our homes in fear, not with common sense, but in fear, we are called to go out in grace and wisdom. One of the things we're going to look at doing this fall is called Who's Your One, which I talked about last spring, and we're going to do more of that again, and pray and go. And it's about getting out in our community and praying. Picking a place. If you live out in the country, down on Klein or County Road, whatever, people down your road, or you come to town because there's places in town that aren't covered, and you just go by different houses and you pray for them. Probably won't grow the church. Like to say that it would. It's a growth program. I don't know. But it's proclaiming the hope and glory of Jesus Christ. It puts us out there. I haven't preached this in a while, but you've heard me say it numerous times. Some churches, if they disappeared from their community, nobody would know. What good does salt do in the salt shaker? Absolutely nothing. Ooh, but look at this salt shaker. Look at this. It's a sea salt with a kind of pink brine to it. Isn't it beautiful? So what? If you don't sprinkle it out in the food, it's worthless. And we need to be out in boldness, in Christ. Who's the one? Who's Christ put on our heart? What ministry has Christ put on our heart? In many ways, we put things on hold, and it makes sense to have done so. And in other ways, now we know so much more than we did a year ago, and we can still do things, and we've adapted. It's so refreshing how good everybody's been here in church about, well, we're doing this, we're going to change this, and everybody goes, okay, just going with the flow. There were some real transitions with going live stream because we had to upgrade our systems. And, some of the people were really helping. Like, I'm checking the sound at home. I go back and listen every Sunday, and we got to tweak this, got to tweak that. Just everybody working in different areas. And we're called to go out and be bold in Christ, to be the aroma of Christ. It takes boldness, because some of us are more introverts. It's easier to stay at home. It's easier just to pray. And I'm into praying because we should pray before we go out. But we need to go out. If you're going to witness to a non-believer and you don't know him, you're probably not going to listen. But if you're just going to get to know people and not witness, that's not a witness for Christ. We need both. People tend to listen to people who talk about Christ if they know you and respect you. Oh, yes, there's people who are bold and go on the streets and do cold evangelism. Just go out and preach. I've seen them. I've done it. It's great. Not the traditional way of things working. And people have gotten saved that way. I'm not against it. The most effective way to witness to the power of Jesus Christ is first to live our lives in boldness, get to know non-Christians, and proclaim the gospel in a loving and caring way. So simple. And yet it is hard. I'm a pastor and it's hard for me. But we're called to do it. What is the Holy Spirit moving in your life that you know is going to take boldness, because it just takes us out of our comfort zone? you know. You know where it is for you. And if you don't pray, God will reveal it. There's just sometimes I'm like, Lord, I wish you wouldn't answer that prayer so quick. But pray. Holy Spirit, use me. Give me your boldness. Let me be bold in your spirit. Then no matter what comes along, you know, I look back at myself. I mean, I was a country bumpkin, coming from North Dakota, scared to death to move to Minneapolis. And it's like, boom, here I am on a age floor and everybody's dying. And I look back. I think some of it was naivety, just overwhelmed by the circumstances. I like to tell you how bold and how I was out there, but some of it is just, I just didn't know what I was even doing. But God was so gracious and moved. And I believe that I was a witness for Jesus Christ just in that simplicity. Just having the boldness to go out, to move there, to work there, to do what had to be done. I wasn't some big hero. I was just a little country bumpkin guy who was willing to move where God said move. And it was scary, yes. But we're all called to be bold in the Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let your grace just rain down on us, Father. Lord, let us be a people in love with you, sharing our love to our world. Lord, in the midst of this resurgence, Lord, be with our healthcare workers. Be with other churches around town to come together as we pray. Lord, for those who have lost family members in this last year, even if it wasn't COVID related, the COVID affected so much of how we took care of our sick and ill ones, Lord, and how we dealt with their deaths. It's been so hard, Lord. Guide our nation through this. Guide our globe through this, Father. Guide us here in our community as we struggle and suffer at times. And yet rejoice in your grace and mercy. Lord, let us never be ones that shirk responsibility, but always move boldness in your spirit. We pray this in your holy name, Lord. Amen and amen. As we close today, we will close in prayer and song. And if you've never made a decision to follow Christ, or even like you're like, I'm a believer, but I've just always held back and I've never been bold for Christ, let me pray with you today. Or for online, contact me to be a disciple who is bold for Jesus Christ. Let us close.